Well, good evening, church. Welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church, and on a beautiful Sunday evening. I'm glad you took the opportunity to come back to the Lord's house to worship and praise Him, and we hope you feel inspired to do that. So let's stand and sing number 572, I Love to Tell the Story. 572.
Good evening. Another beautiful evening here, watching the sun go down. It's hard to believe it's a week or so from Thanksgiving, right? Or a little few days from Thanksgiving. So let's just continue to be in our prayer. I appreciate everyone's prayers this morning for our pastor search committee, and just to continue to hold them up in prayer. And we're privileged this evening to have Brother Brandon Kelly. He's going to bring the message. He's from over at Calvary Baptist, correct, in Pennington. So just be praying for him, and Brandon, you come, and you do what the Lord's put on your heart this evening, okay?
Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. While y'all are finding that, I'd like to take a moment to thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to be able to be here with y'all tonight. Every time that I get to preach the Word and do what He's called me to do, it's a great joy to my heart. So I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to be here with y'all tonight. And I hope to try to be an encouragement to you tonight. I know that recent times may have been a little discouraging in this church. Y'all may have been a little bit discouraged here lately. and just the things of the world, as we see out in the world, all the things happening, it can be discouraging at times. So I hope to give you all a little bit of encouragement tonight through this message. I hope the Lord will speak through me and give you a word that He has for you tonight. And if you all have found that, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Aren't you thankful for that tonight? "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And I believe we all can say amen to that verse right there. This is one of my favorite verses in the Word of God, knowing that, you know what we know by this verse? That this life that we live, we're not in this alone. So I want to preach to y'all for a few moments tonight. You are not in this alone. Be seated and let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. Brother said, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the great evening and the beautiful evening you gave us. And, Lord, just the opportunity to be able to come to your house once again tonight. And, Lord, I ask, Lord, as we open up your word tonight, Lord, that you'll give us a word of encouragement, Lord, here on this Sunday evening, Lord, that, Lord, you would use me and speak through me, Lord, to give a word to these people tonight, Lord, this congregation, Lord, who may have been discouraged lately, Lord, by recent events, Lord, or just maybe discouraged by their life in general, Lord, and maybe just the problems of life that's been thrown at them recently, Lord. Lord, they may be a little discouraged tonight, Lord, but I pray, Lord, you'd uplift our hearts tonight, Lord, through this message. Lord, give us that word that we may need to hear tonight, Lord. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd empty me and myself, Lord, so I'd be able to stand and deliver this message, Lord, and to give the word, Lord, like you would have me to do. And I pray, Lord, that you'd just bless us and be with us for the remainder of the service tonight, Lord. And I pray and ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, some of you may be sitting here tonight, and you may be sitting here with a broken heart. You may be sitting here and the world may seem to be crashing down all around you, and your heart may be weighing heavy tonight. And maybe, perhaps, you wake up every single morning and you feel like you just can't put one foot in front of another. See, I've been there many times in my life, and I know that many of you probably have as well. A time where you get so discouraged where you seem like you can't go on another day. Where it seems like the whole world is crashing down upon you. And it seems like it's just all just pressuring you down, and you feel like you can't move, you feel like you can't do anything, you feel like you can't go on. And I've been at that point as well, and it's not a good point to be at. And once you've been discouraged to that point, it's very, very easily to have the feeling that you're going through it alone. It's very easy to have the feeling that you are going through this life and you feel like you have no friend in the world. You feel like you have nobody that cares, nobody that understands, and nobody with you. You feel that feeling of being alone. And can I tell you, you may have that feeling due to your heart being so heavy, and it feels like your heart's been broken in so many pieces that it's unmendable. And see, the things that cause this in our life, I want to give you three things by way of introduction tonight that we allow in this life to make us feel alone. Number one, in this life, we let problems make us feel alone. We let problems make us feel alone. And see, here's what we do. We let problems weigh us down and overwhelm us to the point to where we feel like we're going through it alone. We feel like there's no one who understands our problems, no one who is there with us and sees the things that we're going through and the stress that we're experiencing in this life. How many of you have ever been there before? To where you let problems, that's all you're focused on is the problem that's in front of you in this life. Well, let me equate it like this. Let me give this illustration to you here. Brayden, if you'll stand up with me. So, this right here, here's what we do in this life when to allow problems to make us feel alone. And I'm going to illustrate it with you like this. So, this quarter right here is our problems, right? This quarter right here in my hand is what can picture our problems in this life. And here's what we do. Here's what we like to do. We like to hold that problem right here. to where that's all we're focused on. See, right now, I can't really see much around me. Everything's blurry around me because I'm focused on this problem that's right here in front of me. And this is exactly what we do with our problems here in this life, is we focus on it, and that's all that we're focused on. And guess what? It looks very big right here in front of my face. And that's what we do a lot of times, isn't it, in this life, is we hold it right in front of our face, and that's all we're focused on. And you know what that does? That makes us feel alone. Because we feel like there's no one else that understands, because guess what? If we see this, we don't see anybody around us. All we're focused on is this. So we don't see anybody that's around us to help with our problems. We don't see the Lord right there beside of us to help. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." So you know what you need to do to allow this problem not to make you feel alone? What the Bible says to do, and also He says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Right? So here's what we need to do. Instead of holding it in front of our face like this, and it's so big in front of our face, and that's all we're focused on, and we feel alone, we feel like there's nobody there to help us, here's what we do. We put it in the Lord's hand. We put that problem in the Lord's hand. Now hold it up. Now that I'm focused on it, I can see other things around me. I can see all the other people sitting in here tonight. I'm not just now focused on that same problem. When it's in the Lord's hands, it's a lot smaller. When that problem is in the Lord's hands versus our hands, it's a lot smaller. So, in order for those problems in our life not to make us feel alone, we need to put it in the Lord's hands. Thank you, Braden. We allow these problems to make us feel alone because that's all we focus on in this life. So, I know we all have problems. I know we all face problems day to day in this life. But here's what we don't do. We don't focus on it so much that it takes over everything that we do. Because guess what? That makes us feel like no one understands when there's people there to understand it. And more so than other people in our life, the Lord understands. And He knows exactly what you're going through. That's why He said, you know what? I know that they're going to get burdened. They're going to get weighed down by their problems in this life. So you know what? Give it to Me. And I can bear it for you. He never told us to bear our own burdens. He said, "Come to Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." And the next verse says, "For my burden is easy and My yoke is light." So the yoke of the Lord is a light yoke in this life. Working for the Lord and serving the Lord is a light yoke. And if we have Him as our Lord and Savior, we can give that problem to Him. And He can take care of it for us. Not only do we allow problems to make us feel alone, but also, this is a big one today for many of the school-age kids, is we let pressure make us feel alone. And what I mean by that, what I mean by pressure, is the constant pressure out in the world to conform. The constant pressure to conform to these ideas and this movement that the world is pushing today. That we see on the news every single day. We see the world needs to be less racist, less homophobic, and things like this. And all these agendas that they're pushing today. They're saying, hey, you need to conform to this. You need to be this way. You don't need to be reading that Bible or spewing that hate speech that comes from the Bible. You need to be conforming to our ways. You know what that is? That's the ways of Satan himself. Trying to convince us to conform to the world. And what does the Bible say? Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye separate. The Bible says, be ye separate and renew your minds. But here's what we do with this pressure. As we feel this pressure out in the world, this constant pressure to conform to these things, and the constant pressure, especially for the kids today growing up in the school system. Any of you who have younger kids or grandkids, you may have heard these things, is that all these things, they're telling them, okay, you need to conform to this, you need to be like this, and you need to be striving to constantly be big, something big, or the next big thing. You need to be this great, grand old person. You can change the world and you can do all these great things. But as long as you conform to our ideas and ways. As long as you do this, the way that the world sees it, you're going to be something big and grand. And you know what that does? This is why I can see why a lot of young kids who are not blessed to be raised up in church, I can see why right here, they easily conform to these things and they get so sucked up and involved in these things. Because it's so easy, if they don't know that there's something better out there, to conform right to what the world says. Because you know what? If they don't, they're going to feel alone. You know why? Because if you don't go by these ways, you don't conform to this ideology that they have, then you're an outcast. You're weird, and they throw out all these names. I won't even go into that. All these names that they give everything. This, homophobic or just a weird Bible thumper or something like that if you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. They throw out all these names. Hate speech. There's another one that they throw out if you simply believe the Bible. So how easy is it for a young child who is constantly pressured by the world to feel so alone? And you know what they do? They give in just like that so they don't feel alone. And even going a step further, a young Christian child. The Lord has burdened my heart for the youth of today's generation. He truly has. And you all should have that burden as well. Because here is the situation we're in today. They're constantly being pressured by the world to make them feel alone. But guess what we're doing? We're sitting by and we're letting it happen. We're sitting by and we're letting it happen. We are not teaching and preaching to them the truth that is in the Word of God. Teaching and preaching what I am right now, that you're not in this alone. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, the Lord says. So those kids, those grandkids that you have, make sure you're teaching them that, hey, even though this world says that you should be like this, even though the world's saying all these things that you should be, guess what? The Lord said He's going to be with you. And the Bible commands us to be a peculiar people, standing out and not being conformed to this world. But, like I said, it's so easy to. Because if you don't, oh man, you're made to feel this big. So we need to be preaching and teaching this principle that, hey, no, and it's for adults in the workplace as well. Those of you who work out in the workplace is getting like that as well. All these people, the constant pressure to conform and the things that the world wants, it makes you feel this small sometimes. It feels like there's not somebody who believes the way you do, not a single person who thinks the way you do and believes the Bible anymore. But guess what? The Lord said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. So we need not let pressure make us feel alone. We not only let problems and pressure make us feel alone, but number three, we let people make us feel alone. People. Now you would think today, like you're probably sitting there thinking, well, how can people make you feel alone? Wouldn't it be the opposite? Like if you desire that company, you desire others to stand with you, right? Well, you would think that people, that would have the opposite effect, that if you'd had people, a bunch of people in your life, that would not make you feel alone, would it? No. Because here's what happens. When you put all your hope, all of your trust into people, they'll let you down every single time. Every time. And so many people do that today. As they'll put their hope and trust, all their hope and trust into a singular person saying, this person is all I need. This person is going to be with me through thick and thin. When you need them the most, where are they? Nowhere to be found. And people break our hearts today now more than ever, it seems like. People are so cruel and double-minded and cold-hearted today, just like the Bible said it would get in the last days. Lovers of their own selves. People make us feel alone today because we'll allow them to disappoint us because we put all of our hope and trust in them. And can I tell you, if you put all of your hope and trust into a man standing behind this pulpit instead of the Lord, you'll be let down. You'll be let down. And I'm sure some of you were let down. So, put your hope and trust into the Lord so you won't feel alone. Because can I remind you today that no matter how alone you may feel, if you are a child of God, and you're within the sound of my voice right now, if you have been saved, you are a child of God and you know it, No matter how let down, no matter how forsaken you feel, Jesus Christ is for you. He is never going to forsake you. And He is going to be everything that you ever need. The Lord Jesus Christ is for us. He will not fail you. When the world fails you, the Lord will not fail you. When the Lord forsakes you, He will not forsake you. Because He said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." You're not in this alone. So, don't let problems, pressure, and people make you feel alone. Because the Lord said, "I'm with thee." So, let's take a little deeper dive into this real quick. By way of the meat of the message here, I want to look at this verse, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And let's look at some of the attributes right here of this verse. If you'll look with me down in the verse, we see that we're not in this alone because we have someone, number one, that is faithful with us. Notice the phrase, "For I am with thee." He is faithful. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." And I'm thankful for this. I've already touched on it a little bit, but I'm thankful that He is faithful when no one else is. In this world, when we go out into it and it's cruel and it's harsh and it just throws all these things at us from time and time again, He is always faithful. He is always faithful to be there right with us when no one else is. When the world's not there, when nobody seems to be standing by our side, He is right there where He always was. And that's where He'll always be if you're a child of God. And how many are you glad for this tonight? That even when we're not faithful, He is faithful. Even when we walk off in our sin and leave Him, He never leaves us. Even when we get caught up in all these things and we allow the world to make us feel alone, He's right there where He always was. And I'm thankful when we turn our backs on Him and we walk off and say, "You know what? I think I'd rather have the world for a little while. I think I'll rather go out into the world and try my way in the world." Even when we do that, turn our back on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who saved us, guess what? He's still faithful. Even when we forsake Him, as Peter did, the one that denied Him, when we forsake Him and deny Him, guess what? He's still faithful. Even when we get out of His will, the will He has for our life, He is still faithful to bring us right back. Because guess what? We walk off and leave Him, but He still remains in the same position. We'll walk off 5 miles down the road sometimes, but He'll be still right back there, waiting on us to come back. And guess what? He goes a step further than that. He is faithful and just, right, to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess, He is faithful and just. And I'm thankful if we go 5 miles down the road, all we got to do is turn back. Ask for that forgiveness. Repent. Turn away from whatever it was that caused us to go away from Him. Come back, and I'm thankful, as beautifully illustrated in the story of the prodigal son, that He doesn't even wait for us to get all the way back to Him. He runs to us and brings us right back in. So we have somebody who is faithful that is with us. Aren't you glad for that tonight? That we don't have to feel alone because He is faithful. He's not going to leave us. We don't have to worry about Him leaving us. We may have to worry about our friends in the world or people that we put our trust in leaving us sometimes, or even family leaving us. But guess what? The Lord is never going to leave us. He's always going to be faithful. So not only you're not in this alone because you have someone who is faithful, but number two, you have someone who is your friend. Now, this part right here is my favorite part that the Lord showed me. And this right here means a lot to me because this takes me through some of the most difficult times in my life right here. So don't miss this. Look down in verse 10. What does it say? "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Did you catch that? "For I am thy God." So you know what that tells me? Thy God tells me that He's not just your God. He's not just your God. He's not just your God. He's not just the God of Israel. He's not just the God of this world. He's not just the God of this whole universe. But He is my personal God. And He is your personal God. So that tells me that He is a friend to us. He is a personal. I'm glad He's not just this God that sits up on a throne and watches us as we go through this life and says, well, I hope they do their best. I hope they try their best. Maybe they'll make it through. Maybe not. But you know what He does? He wants to have a personal walk and friendship with each and every one of you. Think about that for a second. That makes me want to get up and shout. To think that the God that created this universe, everything we see around us, right there. Look at that picture right there. The God that created that, right there, spoke all that into existence, wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. And if you have been saved by His grace, guess what? That's the next step, is having that walk and that relationship with Him. Because He said, when Jesus left, He said, I will send another Comforter. That's the sweet Holy Spirit right there. That friend that is always with us, that never leaves us. That Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is our personal God right there. The form of God that is personal to us, that lives within us, even at that. And that's something that gets me excited too, that the very God of this universe lives within each and every single one of us who have accepted Him. I don't think we're alone, do you? I don't think we're alone by any form. But guess what? We still allow ourselves to feel alone, don't we? But we can be confident in this. The Bible says, on the personal level, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can I tell you about my friend for a second? This friend, this is my personal experience here, and I know that we can go around this room tonight and there'll be a bunch of people who can testify saying how the Lord has been your friend in this life. There's an old hymn, I'm sure many of you have heard it, called The Dearest Friend I've Ever Had. He saved my soul, oh bless His name. I'll never forget the day He came. He makes me glad when I am sad. He's the dearest friend I've ever had. And that's exactly what He's done for me in my life. At the lowest point of the lowest of the low that I've ever gotten, the most difficult and just trivial situations that I've ever experienced in this life, guess what? He's been right there. And He's been my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When everybody else would walk off and I feel like I have nobody there, I look around and, well, I guess so-and-so is not there when I need them. I guess so-and-so is walked off and left. But then I'm sitting there. I realize that's when the Lord speaks to me and says, I'm here. I'm right here. And I'm your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's something. I don't know about you, but that's something I want to be dependent on, is that friend that I have. Because, and I don't want to do anything in my life to let Him down. Even though we let Him down day after day, I let Him down day after day, it breaks my heart thinking, after as good of a friend that He is to us, think about that. If we've ever been heartbroken by another friend that's walked off and left us, think about how the Lord feels when we walk off and leave Him every single day and do things against Him and hurt our friend. Let's not hurt our friend, because, man, He has been abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And I don't know about you, but He has truly been my dearest friend in this life. I've had many, many friends throughout the years. Some who, you know, I've as I preach to you, you know, this means a lot to me, because I've lived through some of this about, you know, the friends walking off and leaving you and people letting you down. And I put my hope and trust in people, and then they walk off and leave me. But guess what? Every single time that I put my hope and trust in the Lord, He's never let me down. And He has been right there by my side. And see, a lot of times, as you know, sometimes people will point out, like sometimes I just like to just be alone sometimes. I drive an hour to college every day, every morning and every afternoon. And I've been asked sometimes, well, don't you get tired of just sitting there alone sometimes? To which I respond, well, here's the thing. I'm not alone. Because I'd rather spend time right there with the Lord than any other friend that I have. Because guess what? He will never let me down. He will never fail me. And He's going to be right there. There have been times that I've been driving to school, and I felt like the Lord was sitting right there in the passenger seat right next to me. Just putting on my favorite gospel songs and listening to preaching or things like that. Or just simply sitting there and just meditating in the Lord. Listening to that still small voice that we sometimes overlook a lot of times because all the things going out in this world. Just having that time alone with the Lord. Just precious. Because He truly is that dearest friend that I've ever had. And I know He's the same to you. If you've been saved and you have been close to Him at any point in your life and had a walk with Him, I know He's done the exact same for you. Not only do we not need to feel like we're in this alone because we have a faithful person that is with us, a friend that is with us, but number three, look in the verse where it says, I will strengthen thee, and yea, I will help thee. And that tells me we have somebody with us that is a fortress. A fortress. And what I mean by that, as the Bible says, He is the ever-present help in the time of need. Right? When we need Him most, He is our fortress. And what I mean specifically by Him being the fortress, yeah, I will help thee, yeah, I will strengthen thee. I will give thee strength and I will help thee. What He says right there is when we're at our weakest point. And we feel like the storms of life are crashing in on us and we feel like we can't go on another step. He's right there to provide us fortress, to provide us help, to provide us shelter when we need it the most. When the storms of life come and they're crashing down all around us, we can simply go to that rock that is higher than I, to that fortress and that help in the time of need. I'm thankful for that tonight. Because He is that true fortress. And I think about this specifically right here. As, you know, how many times have we had these troubles and the storms of life. And we run to that only shelter. A shelter where we cannot find out in the world. A shelter that we can't find in other people. A shelter that you can search far and wide and you'll never find. Run to that only shelter that can truly provide you help in your darkest, deepest moment in your life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That fortress that He is. And I equate it to this. I mentioned how He's that help that strengthens us and helps us in the storms of life. I think about the story in the Gospels that talks about when disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ went out onto the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, He went and He was asleep in the hull of the ship, right? We all know the story. And the storms of life is pictured right here. And when I talk about the storms here, just picture the storms of life that we face. So the storms came crashing in, right? And the boat started swaying and the disciples, they were fearing for their lives. They were like, oh no, what are we going to do? How am I going to make it? How am I going to go on another step? What are we going to do? And the disciples were just going all out of sorts, right? When the whole time the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep in the hull, their very fortress that they needed. So they go to Him and say, do you not care that we die? Do you carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus simply steps out and the storm's calm. And we are, follow me here, we are much like the disciples in this life a lot of times. Is we will go all to pieces when storms come in our life. All these problems crashing in, crashing down on us and just causing our boat to sway, the boat of life we're going through. And we'll just go all out of sorts and just feel like we don't have any help in sight, right? And then here's what we expect the Lord to do. We expect the Lord to do exactly what He did in that situation. It's to just simply speak and the storm cease. Right? We expect that to happen. But here's the thing though. Here's what I've found. is the disciples, they were going all out of sorts, and they knew that Jesus was asleep. But they knew he was there, right? They knew he was right there in the hold of the ship, asleep. But they were like, Lord, you need to do something. You need to do it right now before we perish. But then the Lord didn't get in a hurry much. Because guess what? He never did promise us that the storms wouldn't come. He never did promise us that they would just end just like that. That he would speak and end, right? He never promised us that. We see it illustrated in that passage, but he never promised that to us. But you know what he did promise? He was going to be with us. Didn't he? And guess where he was? Right in the middle of it all. Right there in that ship. So, as we're sailing through this life, storms may crash on this side and this side as we're sailing through that straight gate and that narrow way, as the Bible says. As we're sailing onto the gates of heaven, there'll be storms happening over here, storms all around us. And here's what we need to not do. We need to not fall all to pieces saying, oh no, what am I going to do? I don't have any help. My life is a wreck. I don't know what I'm going to do. But guess what? We need to realize that the Lord promised us that He would be right there with us, right by our side as we're going until we make it to the gates of heaven one day. Because you know what He said before He ascended to the very disciples that that event happened with? He said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. He did not promise us that it would be sunshine and rainbows. In fact, He said, in the last days perilous times shall come. In this life ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Guess what? The reason that He is with us, because guess what? He's already overcome it for us. So He's going to go right there beside us. Even though we may go through it. Picture these pews as the storms right here. Guess what? There's a straight gate to that door, isn't there? There's a straight way to that door. Guess what? If you walk straight out here, if I may walk right here, I can't. I'm held up a little bit. I can't get out that door if I'm just continually running into all these things over here. But if I walk on that straight gate and have the Lord Jesus Christ right beside me, going all the way, that stuff has none effect. Because guess what? He is leading me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And He is that fortress when I need Him most. So let's not fall all to pieces when all these storms come in our life sometimes. Because He promised us it would happen. And He also knew that it would happen. Because He knows all. And guess what? He's already overcome it for us as well. So what we need to do, so we don't feel alone, is realize that we have a fortress that is going to keep us safe. And what's the old song we sing? Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Oh, that man, the Lord just gave that to me. That segues perfectly into my last point right there. If you've seen the rest, if in the hollow of thy hand, keep me safe till the storm passes by. And lastly, not only do we not need to feel alone because we have someone who is faithful, a friend, a fortress, but we have someone who is the first and the last. And what I mean by that is the power that His hand has. What does the last part of the verse say? Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. And guess what? That's exactly what He's going to do. Because we have the first and the last. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of His power. Not only is He a faithful one, He's that friend that is right there with us, that personal God that we spoke of. But guess what? He is the same God, like I spoke of earlier. The one that has us in His hand. Think about this for a minute. Don't miss this. The one that has us in His right hand upholding us is the same hands that created this world. And if that don't give you some assurance, I don't know what will. Because if he could create and speak everything to existence and create all that we see around us with his hands, I think he can handle our problems of life, can he? I think he can be there beside us. You know, sometimes we treat the Lord like, man, he might be too busy to be with me today, or he might be too busy to hear my prayer today. No. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. All we got to do is bring our problem to him, and guess what? He's going to hold us up in that powerful hand. And guess what? The Bible says, there's so many verses on this, I'll give you a few just to save time here. But the Bible says, what does it say about being in the Lord's hand as well? Not only is he going to uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness, they are sealed in my Father's hand. Right? Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. No man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So if we're in that hand, we're being upheld today, guess what? That means that nothing, unless he says so, as we're walking, like I said, on that straight and narrow gate, a straight and narrow way to the gate, nothing, unless he gives it the ability, can harm us. Nothing. Not even Satan himself can do anything to us unless he gives him permission. Because guess what? We're sealed in his hand. Not even Satan himself can pluck. Think about that for a minute. The second most powerful being in the universe, Satan himself, cannot pluck us from his hand, because he is all powerful and he is great. And as the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, and you probably know this verse as well, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's the hand that's upholding us. Anything out in this world doesn't compare to the slightest to how great he is. The hand that's upholding you, nothing, I mean nothing, can take you out of it. Because greater is he that is in you. And he is so great, in fact, and he's so great that he, as I said right here, for the last point right here, he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So you know what that tells me? It tells me that there's been nothing before him, there'll be nothing after him that catches him by surprise. So that means there is nothing at the beginning of our life and nothing at the end that he did not bring us through. If we close to him and we have that hand of protection and we're in his hand, being saved in that hand, and he's upholding us, there's nothing that can hurt us. And praise the Lord. I'm thankful for this today too. That hand that we're in of his, as I said earlier, the world, how it's just pushing all this ideas and conformity today, and it's changing before the blink of our eyes. It's like we're seeing prophecy fulfilled one right after another, it seems. It's changing rapidly. But guess what? That first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, from the very time of the first to the last, he will always be the same. Even though the world may change around us, even though things may change that we see around us, guess what? He's never going to change. Because he said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's the hand that we're in today. That's the hand, if you are saved tonight, that you are placed in when you are saved. So, I think it's safe to say that we're not alone. I don't know about you, but I think it's safe to say that. And not only are we not alone, but the one that is on our side, the one that is with us, guess what? We're on the winning side. The old song that says, I'm on the winning side. Thank the Lord for that. And you know, this world, it seems like, as I alluded to earlier, that it's a constant battle and a constant fight every single day you wake up, isn't it? So that we allow to make us feel alone sometimes. The problems and the pressure and the situations that are in our life, we let it make us feel alone. But guess what? This fight that we're in right now, guess what? We're not in the fight alone. And as I said, we are on the winning side. Because you know what the Bible says? It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who? There's no one. Spoiler alert. Answer to that question is nobody. There's not one that can be against us in this life. I'm thankful for that. Once heard a story. There was a woman who felt the pain of rejection, and she had had a friend that had walked off and left her, and she felt like she was facing the world alone. She had tremendous problems, and one of her greatest fears in her life was the fear of being alone. Well, she was wanting to try to seek help. She was wanting to try to get help to get over this fear of being alone and just all the things she was going through in her life and the problems she had. So she went to her pastor, and she was confident that the pastor would give her the answer that she was looking for. Well, can I tell you, the answer that she got was not the answer she was looking for, but the one that she needed. Because here's what he said. Loneliness cannot be cured just by being with people, seeing a counselor, or simply talking on the phone to somebody. What is needed is a good friendship and relationship. And he was being literal by this means. You can't have your feeling of loneliness cured by just simply, you know, sometimes being in somebody's presence. You got to have that person as a friend, right, and have a relationship with them, knowing that you have a like mind and y'all can relate on things and you can talk about things to them, right? But what he said, what is needed is a good friendship and relationship, and more specifically, not just any type of friendship and relationship, but a friendship and relationship with God. That is how loneliness is cured, by having a true friendship and relationship with God. And see, what her problem was right here, it wasn't that people had walked off and left her, even though that was causing her the heartache. It wasn't that, you know, she was falling all to pieces, had this fear of being alone. It was because she didn't have a strong walk with God. Because as I stated to you, if you have a walk with God, you know that you're not alone. You know that He is right there, right in, beside you every day, going to work, going to school, wherever. He's right there beside of you. So if you had that strong walking relationship with Him, you know that you're not alone. And see, this is exactly what many of us do, sadly. Is we're just like this lady right here. And what we'll do is we will sacrifice our friendship and relationship with the Lord for the things of this world. We'll let all the things of this world just destroy our friendship and our walk with God, which in turn makes us feel alone. Because if that friendship and relationship is destroyed, because, you know, you got to have that walk with God in order to know that He's right there. Because guess what? When we have sin in our lives and we get out into the world, it's almost as if God is not there. How many of you have ever been there before? You felt like you were 5 miles away from God, right? That's because you didn't have a walk and a friendship and relationship with God. But how many of y'all have ever been on the other end of the spectrum there? And when you had a close walk and you had a close friendship with God, you knew that He was right there. You knew that He was right there where He said He was. You knew that He was being that friend to you that sticketh closer than a brother. You knew He was right there, just like He said He was. So that's the key to it tonight. See, what we do is we sacrifice, like I said, our relationship with the Lord, and we trade friendships out in the world for our friendship with the Lord. So, as I said at the very beginning of this message, coming full circle, is when these friends walk off and they leave us and they disappoint us, they leave us hanging when we need them most, then we feel like we're alone because we have nobody that we can see there around us, right? So, let me tell you tonight, if you don't want to feel alone in this world, trust in the Lord. Have a friendship with the Lord. Depend on the only one that's never going to leave you. Because guess what? It's not worth it to sacrifice that. I do so many times. I'm guilty of it. I know all of us are guilty of it. That we so quickly trade our relationship with God for something out in the world. So quickly. But guess what? And the whole time, if we would simply just stick to that friendship and that relationship with God. Stay close to Him. What does the Bible say? Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. If you want a true friendship and relationship. Draw nigh up to God, and you will never, not one moment, will you feel alone. Because He is right there by your side. And if you're focused on Him, then you know. Like you will know, and you'll have no shadow of doubt that you are truly not alone at any moment. So whoever plays the piano, if you would, is there any piano player here tonight? If not, I can just give a simple invitation. Thank you, brother. So, I want to give you a chance tonight. Maybe you're, like I said at the beginning, maybe you're sitting in here. You've allowed recent events to discourage you. You've allowed problems in your life to discourage you. You've allowed all these things to take hold. And you've looked at that problem as if it's right there in front of you. And you're focused on nothing else. Can I tell you tonight, give it over to the Lord. Give that problem over to the Lord. Restore your walk and your friendship and relationship with Him tonight. Because you may feel like you're facing the world alone tonight. But truly, if you have Him and you put all your problems and you cast all your care upon Him, He's right there to receive it. And He'll be right there by your side, brother. So, let me ask all who are willing and able, stand at your feet tonight. And let me ask this question. If you're in here alone tonight, you feel like you're alone, come on down here to the altar tonight and restore that friendship and relationship with the Lord. If you feel like you need to come tonight, come on. Also, if you are in here tonight and you have never been saved, you never truly have had the Lord right there to be your friend, stick it closer than a brother. And take a Bible tonight, show you exactly how to do so. Come on tonight, mind the Lord. If you need to come. I'm thankful that we can be confident in this promise right here. That no matter what the world throws our way, we know that we're not alone. If you're not confident in that tonight, and you don't know that, and you're struggling with that thought that you're feeling alone tonight in this world, come get that right tonight. Because I promise you, if you'll simply come to the Lord, lay those burdens down on the altar, He'll give you rest, as He promised to us. If you need to come, come tonight. While these are praying, maybe you've been dependent on a friend. Maybe you've been dependent on some type of job, some type of position in the church. Anything that may be taking up all your hope and trust tonight, give it all to the Lord. Because when you do that tonight, I promise you, you'll never be let down. All the worldly things that we could ever imagine out in the world will let us down every time. But He never will. Thank you, Lord. It's a good feeling to know that you're not alone, isn't it? It's a good feeling. While these are praying, well, I hope that was encouragement tonight. I hope that it encouraged your hearts to know that no matter what this world may throw at you, no matter what problems we may face, how many people that we see walk off and leave us, that we're never truly alone. And remember that. Remember that. Truly remember that. When you all find somebody, and I'm praying that the Lord will send you all somebody that will fill this pulpit, make sure that you never put your hope and trust in a singular man. Because you'll be let down. Because guess what? We are cursed and wrapped in this flesh that it has this sinful nature that will always cause us to sin and come short of the glory of God. And that includes whether you think it or not, preachers and pastors. Because everybody is wrapped in this flesh. And here's another thing as well, is don't think for a moment that you're not capable of doing those things as well. Because guess what? It is so easy at that point, especially if you allow sin to make you feel alone and if you get wrapped up in those things. And it's so easy to take desperate measures to get some peace, to get some comfort, because you need that in substitute. See, that's what the world tries to do. They try to put all these things out to put a substitute. They say, you need to try maybe drinking. It'll help you feel better. Or try maybe going to a counselor. Maybe they'll have a word for you. Or maybe try to go out and live your life to the fullest or something like that. They'll provide all these things to make you feel better. But the only thing, truly, that will sustain you for the rest of this life as we see these perilous times come, and I believe that soon and very soon, we're going to be out of here. But until then, help us, like, Lord, help us. Help us to know and to always remember that we're not alone. As we face the coming days ahead, remember, never truly alone.
Thank you, brother. Our head, we'll dismiss in prayer here this evening. Master and our Savior, Lord, we just come before you this evening thankful for the message this evening. We thank you for the message this morning, Lord, that we are called to be your example, to be that friend, to be closer to each other, Lord, and to hold each other up and to pray for each other, Lord. And we thank you for the challenge tonight, Lord, that we are not alone and that we can put all our trust and all of our heart into you, Lord, and that you can fill our hearts and that we can be obedient to what you call us to do, Lord. You call us, Lord, to continue to work till you do call us home, Lord, and we just pray that that be this church's desire and this believer's desire, Lord, that you would just strengthen us to do that. And again, we thank you for all that you are. And again, most of all, Lord, we do thank you that you are Alpha and Omega in the beginning and the end, and that we serve the one true God. In Jesus' name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.
Amen.